Welcome to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. It is an especially bluesy Tuesday. I am Tim Rocky here in studio with one very special guest. We have Sabrina Combs live in studio, and we are going to have Mr. Micah Villanueva calling in from the great beyond. Just going to take a little bit of a break from talking sports all the time. Of course, once Micah gets on, it's kind of inevitable that we'll be talking some sports. But going to talk some local activism, some politics, some getting involved in your community. So keep it tuned right here, 89.5 FM. It don't matter if I'm wrong. Show me a place where I don't have to worry, and that's where I belong. Welcome back. This is the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene, and I'm Tim Rocky here in studio with, you know, we normally don't have Yankees fans on the show, in the studio, but we'll make an exception for the wonderful Sabrina Combs. So, Sabrina, what were you up to on Saturday, and who were you with?
On Saturday, I was with about 800 of my closest friends. Marching here in Palmer for the Women's March, early on a beautiful wintry morning, downtown Palmer.
So, when did you first hear about the organization of the march?
I think it was about a week or two after the elections in November is when I started hearing mumblings of it. But it got some good Facebook ground and coverage in December, I'd say. And that's when I really started to take a note of the local involvement.
So, describe to me, if you can, at length, what you saw on Saturday. Who was there specifically? What was their message? What was the things that were on the signs that they were carrying? Who were you with on Saturday, and why were they there?
I don't think I can personally speak to the exact message of the Women's March, except for why I was there. I would have to say that the group was more progressive in nature, for sure. There is definitely a lot of folks that were there just that were trying to find a little bit of consolement after the election and the inauguration. There's definitely undertones of anti-Trump folks, but there was also a huge outpouring of support for each other just as far as making sure that women have their voices heard. I think a lot of folks are a little uncertain about our current presidency and cabinet choices and some of the things that were said during the election process, that we just want to make sure that women have a voice in politics these days and in legislation, and that we don't move backwards. That's why I was there, making sure that locally as well as nationally, we continue to have a voice on things that matter.
So, yes or no question, did you get a positive feeling leaving the march on Saturday?
Beyond positive. When I see a group of community members gathering together peacefully and just, I think everyone was so surprised at the sheer numbers that were turning out for the event that it was just kind of a wow, holy cow moment. Like, there are people here that not only think like I do, but also want to support each other in the main message.
So you guys exceeded expectations. Way to negate my next question there.
I actually ran into the organizer of the event, Allison Little, and she was saying that she was looking forward to 20 or 30 people showing up if that was what she got. So I think she was beyond excited.
And if I'm correct, the march got a little bit of national attention
Yes. In
a reel put together by MSNBC of you know, video and photos from around the world where marches took place. So the last question, and I'll leave it up to you. Do you believe the message of those who were marching was heard?
I would like to say yes, in the sense that it got attention. It's a group that is not going away. It is people that are like-minded and are going to be vigilant throughout the next administration. However, today, President Trump signed some anti-abortion, anti-women's rights legislation executive order. So it's hard to say if the message was heard. I would like to think that it is, and that it won't be taken lightly, and that it will be heard by our current administration. Time will tell.
Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, and thank you for being an active member of our community.
Thank you for having me. And it echoed through the canyons like the disappearing dreams of yesterday. On the Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes a body feel alone. There ain't nothing short. Drop facts, 'cause y'all don't wanna go there with that. Bakes is high. Take me out with the fader. I'm unspeakable. Drop facts, 'cause y'all don't wanna go there with that. Bakes is high. Take me out with the fader. I'm unspeakable. Let it be known that the truth is here, and these young thugs still need a booster chair. At the table with a label for food from their career, but treated like apes, giving nuts and beers. It's weird, tight jeans and snug tops. The industry's thug pop, but still can't compare to Chuck Rock. Some nice, but some not, in spite of the gunshots. Some still soft as a gumdrop. It's not real, some pop pills, pushing them hot wheels. Going bankrupt, but got deals. Claim hot, label drop, but got skills. Rocking fat gold in the hood, the block sale, but we craft classes, craft caskets. For fake rap and hip hop, this plastic. Got it mastered, EQ'd and mixed. Call it hammer time, all we do is make hits. Drop facts, 'cause y'all don't wanna go there with that. Micah, can you hear me?
Hey, Tim, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. So, you're live on the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene with Tim Rocky. Let me tell you a little story about Mr. Micah Villanueva. He was on the radio station with me before we even actually had a radio station. A veteran of Radio Free Palmer. We're doing broadcasts from the press box and in the Palmer High School gym and football field long, long ago. So, Micah, how you been?
Hey, man, I've been good. I've been just on my grind here in D.C., putting in the work, so, you know, nothing's changed.
So talk to me about where you were and what did you see on Inauguration Day?
Inauguration Day, I was actually on Pennsylvania and 7th, so if you look around Pennsylvania, you could see the Capitol building and all the crowds there. It was a ticketed event, but if you were on the street on Pennsylvania, you didn't need a ticket. You could just get in by coming through security.
So what was the tone of the people that you saw at the event on Inauguration Day? Was it all positive? Was it more negative than positive? What kind of reactions did you see?
I would say that a lot of what I saw was pretty peaceful. The people that didn't have tickets were mostly anti-Trump protesters. But even those protesters, they were there for a reason. And I didn't really see any, you know, suspicious, you know, activities or even what the media was portraying, a lot of violence in D.C. Most of the people there were there to really have beef with Trump's policies. The violence that occurred, which was about 15 blocks from where I was, actually was a couple hundred anarchists that had showed up on the day of and had gone around smashing different storefronts.
So other than those protests, which anarchy is not cool, I think we can all agree on that. Do you believe that the protests were warranted that you did see? And do you believe that they, you know, that they had a point and that they were directed at someone who may have actually heard what they were saying?
I mean, I think that many of the protesters' concerns were legitimate with regards to what Trump said during the, you know, during the election season and what he's planned to do, you know, during his presidency. You know, as far as whether they were actually heard, I mean, probably not. I mean, there's certainly a lot of partisanship in Washington. So I think a lot of what they said was kind of mostly just preaching to the choir, but you know, I think it's important that they were at least out there exercising their First Amendment rights.
So talk to me about that. We had, you know, almost 1,000 women marching here in Palmer, Alaska, when they were expecting, you know, maybe tens, exercising their right to protest. What do you think of the protests that happened the day after Inauguration Day and those that occurred during Inauguration Day? What do you see from, you know, the people who have their right to peaceful protests, and what is becoming of that? And do you believe that that's a trend that may be going away or that may be gaining some force?
That's a good question. I actually happened to be down in the same area the following day, not necessarily for the protests, you know, although I certainly supported them, but I had to wade through the crowds, and I was honestly shocked. I had heard about the protests, but I didn't anticipate the amount of people that were there. And, you know, there was probably upwards of 700,000-800,000 people there. There were so many people that the metro I was on, they were skipping stations, closing down stations because there was just too many people for the government and the metro employees to handle. So it was an overwhelming amount of turnout. And I think that it's going to be hard for Donald Trump to ignore those kinds of protests, not just in his own city, but all around the world, whether it's Palmer having 1,000 protesters or whether it's Los Angeles having, you know, 300,000-400,000, it's going to be very difficult for him to ignore that. And I think at some point it's going to start wearing on him.
Thank you. Thank you for your insight from kind of ground zero of the state of politics in the United States of, not just Republicans, but Democrats and protesters and people who are happy and all that. Let's get back to what we were, at least we used to be good at, I think, basketball and talking some sports. So Kobe Bryant, I know you've got a soft spot for Kobe Bryant, and he was one of your favorite players. Compared Russell Westbrook to himself before he left the league as one of the only players who really attacks offensively like Kobe did. What similarities do you see between those two players?
Oh man, I mean, look at Westbrook, the show is all about him, right? So, I mean, that's the same way it was with Kobe. You look at as far as the percent of plays that are run through Westbrook on that offense, and his offensive usage rate is, you know, off the chart, in the same way with Kobe. I think Westbrook is demonstrating more of a complete package in terms of scoring, rebounding, and assisting, whereas Kobe was always a scorer first.
So talk to me about that. He's got more triple-doubles than the entire starting lineup of the he's got more triple-doubles than the entire starting lineup of the Western All-Star team, but he's not an All-Star starter. Is that a problem, and does the All-Star game even matter?
I mean, obviously the problem is that he's not a starter, but it's just unfortunate the way things worked out with how the voting is set up and a stacked West. You know, any given night, you'd love any one of those guys to be on your team. It'd be hard to just pick one, but it's just the way that the voting works out is that he gets pushed out as the odd man out because the fans like Curry and they like Durant more. Westbrook's kind of a bad boy, honestly, and the fans don't like him as much as the other starters.
So in the Western Conference, you know, the regular season is kind of just a dry run, but we're going to get down to the playoffs here pretty soon. Is it a one-horse race in the West, or does San Antonio have a chance? Does Oklahoma City have a chance? Does anybody have a chance, really? of unseating Golden State as the Western Conference champion.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Warriors still haven't shown that they've got that cohesiveness. And, you know, look at their losses. You know, they lost to the Heat last night. They've lost to the Lakers, right? You know, they've beat some teams pretty historically, but then they've lost to some historically bad teams. So, you know, I think that once you get to the playoffs, you really don't want, if you're the Warriors, to have to face a team like Oklahoma City Thunder. You really don't want to have to face a New Orleans Pelicans team with a healthy Anthony Davis. Like, I think that as good as they are, there's still a lot of teams in the West that can challenge them for supremacy.
So the Cavaliers have had a couple of injuries in the East. They picked up Kyle Korver. You know, the big three seems to be meshing like they hadn't been in the previous couple of seasons. Do you see anyone unseating them in the East, or are we headed to the third chapter of Cavaliers-Warriors?
Cavs, kind of the same story, honestly, as the Warriors right now. I mean, Cavs, I believe, if I'm wrong, correct me, but I think they've lost five of the last seven. So they're really running a struggle, and LeBron cussed out the team, you know, a couple nights ago, saying that we're so top-heavy. You know, we're not going to win playoff games because we got two rooks, you know, right now that we're trying to lean on in our bench, and that's not good enough. So unless they figure out, you know, that bench, and adding Kyle Korver did not fix that hole. Unless they figure out that bench, they're not going to go back.
So who would you consider, give me the Micah Villanueva sleeper. Who do you think could sneak into maybe the conference finals or the finals that maybe some people don't have on their radar?
From the Eastern Conference?
From either conference. A team that's just not in the forefront of the national media attention as far as one of the best teams in the NBA.
You know, I'm going to go out there for Eastern Conference. If the Bucks can skate in the playoffs, they might surprise a lot of people. But when the Bucks show up to play, they're real scary. And then as far as the Western Conference, I mean, I'm going to say the Thunder because you just never know. You know, what Russell Westbrook is going to do to you on any given night.
All right, Micah, thank you so much for your time and your insight. We are going to kick it to some music. If you ever have an itch to talk some hoops or some politics or whatever, you get a hold of me and we'll get you on the air. Thank you so much.
No doubt. Hit me up. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I've had a wonderful time interviewing some of my friends. It's nice to grow up in the town that I grow up in and not only have these connections of people who are on the ground floor of, you know, peaceful protests and being a part of the democratic process that's outside of just a voting booth, but to have those people be willing to come on air with me and express their feelings and what they've seen and what they've heard is really special. And I think it's something that you won't find in every city, but is especially a Palmer trait. And I thank Sabrina and Micah for sharing their time and their thoughts and their activism. So, we're going to get back to some basketball because sports is what we do around here. You know, we might sprinkle in a little politics here and there, and it's always good to make sure that I'm keeping you guys informed on what your local legislators may be doing, this, that, and the other thing. But right now, the Jazz are beating the Nuggets, and that's what I determine as important. 32-28 in Denver. And that's early in with a 7:52 left in the first half, 7:22 left in the first half in Phoenix, where the Timberwolves are losing 33-38 to the Suns. Andrew Wiggins with 7 points early in that one. The Spurs beat the Raptors to improve to 36-9 on the season. Kyle Lowry had 30 points for Toronto, but it was not enough as LaMarcus Aldridge had 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. And after a rough third quarter, the Spurs hold off the Raptors in Toronto. The break up the Sixers. Holy cow. Nerlens Noel has 19 points and 8 rebounds in this one, 121-110. The Sixers beat the Clippers in Philly. So let's look at Joel Embiid did not play in this one. Neither did Jahlil Okafor. Two of the last first-round draft picks. Embiid has a knee contusion, and Okafor has knee soreness. But a first-round draft pick from 3 years ago, Nerlens Noel, had himself a night. He is a force inside with 3 blocks. He did have 4 fouls, 5 assists for a big guy. It's not too shabby. They have got a wealth of big men over there in Philadelphia, and that process, that Sam Hinkie process of lose till you win, is somehow starting to work out. I'm not exactly sure how he's doing it, but he's gone too. We have to remember that the Sam Hinkie process did not continue to work because Sam Hinkie got fired for that very process of losing to try to win. The Celtics and Wizards played for the third time this year. The Wizards won 123-108. John Wall outdid Isaiah Thomas in this one. 27 points for Wall, 7 boards and 7 assists. 25 points for Isaiah Thomas, who has been a monster in the month of January. The Bulls beat the Magic 100-92. Jimmy Butler had 20 points in this one to go along with 8 boards and 4 assists. That is the state of the NBA, but we have got to talk about some football because it is time. It is time for the last game of the year. They call it the Super Bowl because it is just that. Now, in the conference championship games, we had 2 kind of snoozers. You hope that conference championship games will be close, you know, maybe a last possession type of game, not knowing who and when it's going to be decided, but that was kind of the opposite case of both of these games. The Packers came in after they started the season 4-6. They had been remarkable since that point, reached the conference championship game that no one thought they would reach, and then they got trounced by the Falcons 44-21 in Atlanta. They did not score in the first half, and a lot of Aaron Rodgers' weapons were on the verge of, or they were hurt, and he was not sure how many wide receivers he would have. They all ended up playing. Jordy Nelson actually played with broken ribs, and then he went on to catch a touchdown. But Julio Jones, he has no broken ribs. He caught 9 balls for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns, and the Falcons ran away with the NFC Conference Championship. They will play the Patriots in the Super Bowl in Houston. 36-17 was the final score of the Patriots-Steelers. Patriots do what Patriots do. Chris Hogan had the same stat line as Julio Jones, but Chris Hogan is not nearly as famous a name as Julio Jones. There's a reason for that. Hogan played 4 years of lacrosse at Penn State before playing 1 year of football at Monmouth and then being undrafted, spending time with a number of teams. Now he's with the Patriots, and he's one of their best receivers. So the Steelers at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning had the fire alarm in their building pulled by a Patriots fan. Ew, come on, people. Let the team have a fair chance of beating the Patriots. It's hard enough when they are the Patriots. You do not need to add a little bit of gamesmanship into that. But that is our Super Bowl matchup, is Patriots-Falcons. It'll be in Houston in 2 weeks. It's going to be a good one. I'm very excited for it. We also have some news that I have to relay. Last week, we had young Chase Anderson on the show. He was wonderful. He has been doing very well at his races in Anaheim. I got an update from Miss Casey Owens. Let me find that real quick while I stall on air. He had the fastest lap time during his first race. He was, as I pull this up, fastest lap time at Anaheim. He had a lap time of 134.9. That was almost a full second faster in the KJSC practice. I'm going to have to make sure I look for some more information on him. But for now, we are going to play some tunes. And once we're done playing some tunes, we're going to boogie on out of here. Here's another Shaky Graves song to take you home. I've been Tim Rocky, and this has been the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I hope you enjoyed, and tune in again tomorrow at 8:30 a.m.
I'm out.